morning. Psalms chapter number 37. Looking forward to what God has laid upon my heart. I've actually have already taught this week to a different group of people, not to you, as you can tell, but the last several months I've had the privilege to be involved with the Roadrunners organization. It's the basketball team that Jalen plays for, and they have asked me to be their spiritual coach. I like that term. And so every Tuesday night and every Thursday night, I have the privilege to get up and to give them a 10 to 15 minute message on the Word of God. And I'm excited about the opportunity that God has given me, another platform to present the gospel to people. And so I've looked forward to that opportunity. Sometimes I will have to admit it. There's great difficulty involved. Sometimes I don't know the direction to go until probably about 10 minutes beforehand. But God always delivers, and I appreciate that. But this particular week, he brought me to Psalms chapter number 37 and began to speak to the girls some steps that they need to take in order for them to have a successful Christian walk with God. And so we're going to go over that this morning. And I want you to have those same thoughts and those same ideas for your life as well. And so go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. And we will begin reading verse number 23, 24. And then we're going to go over some other things throughout this sermon this morning. I must confess to you this morning, I have almost 10 points that I'm going to cover. But I promise I will have you out before 1 o'clock today, and I won't hold you after 1 o'clock. If we go past 1 o'clock, just go ahead and walk out these doors, and I'll be right behind you. But anyway, that's funny. I ran into my old pastor yesterday, and he said he preached an hour and a half sermon. And I said, wow, you've really cut back an hour and a half. Can you imagine sitting in the service for an hour and a half just hearing Saul preaching? I've been there before. Well, let's begin reading here, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Every time I read these two verses, my mind goes back to Jimmy Schroeder, when he was here years ago, brought his guitar, brought his banjo, led our music for many years at our church, and he would get up here on occasions on Sunday nights, and we go through the Word of God and just begin to sing some verses, and this is one of the tunes that we would sing to. Some of you folks know this, and I appreciated those things about him. So we're going to talk today about the steps of a good man. So let's go ahead and go back to verse number 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Kind of sounds like the day that we are living in. There's a lot of people that are wandering our streets that are fretting because of evildoers. The Word of God gives us a word of encouragement here, and he says, don't fret. Really, what's the reason for us to fret? Does it do us any good? The only thing I've noticed about fretting and worrying is the stress that it causes upon your life. I noticed the gray hair that I have now is from a lot of the fret that I have done in my lifetime, and it doesn't do us no good. Matter of fact, it destroys your health as well. It does many things. So it says, fret not. Verse number 2 follows up with why. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." I'm going to stop there. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go a little bit further into the Word of God this morning. And we're going to go over the steps that you and I need to have in our lives today. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we're able to be here this morning. God, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to present your word to your people. God, none of us are here by accident or mistake. God, we're here because you brought us here this morning. And so with that being said, I pray that every single person that's in attendance this morning, and even on our internet watching us through YouTube, God, that you would begin to speak and you begin to minister to hearts. Lord, you have challenged me in this area this week, areas that I have failed you miserably. So God, I pray that you'd use me this morning to be the voice, to be one that it encourages, to be one that lifts you up and edifies you. God, I want you to be glorified. I don't want glory coming to me. I want glory coming solely to you. So God, right now, the very words that I will speak in these next few moments, I pray, Lord, that they would be your words. And if my words begin to interfere, God, I pray with all seriousness that you would shut my mouth. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Teaching the Word of God is a very serious business. It's something that I take very serious in my life, and I always count it a great privilege to stand behind a pulpit every time the opportunity is there. So we're going to talk this morning about the steps of a good man. Verse number 3, as we continue our story, as we continue our reading this morning, the first thing that we are to do as the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord is, number 1, is we are to trust in the Lord. That word there is one of the words that is very easily said, but it's hard for us to do. Trust is another word for faith, meaning we are to have faith in God, trust in God, not relying or dependent upon yourself, not relying or dependent upon anybody else that is around you, but solely trusting in God. That is where every single believer needs to be to have a good spiritual and a good successful spiritual life, is trusting in the Lord. And this is something that I honestly have a hard time with many times in my life. 4 years ago, I had a hard time trusting that God would bring our pastor through the great difficulty that he went through. I had a difficult time putting my faith in the Lord, because what we see is right here, right now, we see the clouds, but God already sees beyond the clouds. He knows what tomorrow holds. And so with that being said, we don't see those things. And so I had a great difficulty trusting in the Lord God. And I tell you what, as I step back and now some time has passed, I'm able to see, man, God, you are at work every single day. Even when we thought that you were at work, you were working in the life of our pastor. And what that has taught me is to put my trust even more so in the Lord God. Why? Because as we've been taught, God has got this. I remember a message that was preached here a couple years ago by an evangelist that came through. He's speaking out there at the men's retreat over in Nebraska. And his slogan that night is, God's got this. And it's so true in our life. God has got this. And because God has got this, we need to trust in him. Trusting in him, not only in our finances, not only in our circumstances that might bring us down, not just trusting him in our spiritual matters, but trusting him in everything. That is what God has called us to do. But it's something that we lack. We lack trust. What's the Bible say about faith? Bible says, if we have the faith as a grain of the mustard seed, finish the sentence for me. You can do what? Remove mountains. I know that we don't live in Colorado. We don't have the mountains around us, but we do live in Iowa, and we have something that's very beautiful here, and it's called the Bluffs. And we're able to even walk out of these doors and walk out to the street, and we're able to see the Bluffs to the east of us. And they're very pretty, even in the summertime when they have all the green trees going there. Right now, it's not so pretty. They're kind of brown. You might see some white in there, but we have the thing called the Bluffs. What is the last time that you have demonstrated your faith in God and went outside and say, you know what, I have the faith as a grain of the mustard seed, and I'm going to remove these bluffs from this position to the other position? Has anybody ever tried that in their life, or am I the only one that's ever done those things? I went out there, I kid you not, I grew up watching I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched, thanks to Nickelodeon. They played those series at nighttime. And so I went out there on a few occasions, and I would twinkle my nose. And the bluffs, they would never move. I was like, okay, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe my twinkle in my nose just isn't right. And so I was, okay, I've seen I Dream of Jeannie, so I'm going to go out there, and I've done this. I've been, and you know what? The bluffs are still there. You older people are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. But now we move into this new age stuff, and we have people out there called the Avengers. And you younger people that are 25 and below, you love the Avengers. And so I begin to watch what they do. And so I'm going to go try this. And so they do these great arm movements. They do all this. So I've tried that. That doesn't work. Why? Because it shows you how small my faith is. It really does. And the funny thing about faith and about trust is we put our faith in God to save us from hell, to save us into eternity, but we don't put our faith in Him and the other things in life. What are you saying? I'm saying we lack trust in God, and we truly do. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So if you want to have a good, successful spiritual life, number one, trust in the Lord. I would encourage you, if you've yet to put your faith and trust in Him for salvation, I'm going to give you an opportunity after the service today that you can do those things. You can put your faith and trust in Him. Verse number four, as we continue to move along, the word says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Being excited, having joy in your life will get you a long way. I was this week, there was a conversation in our house. I was not really attentive to it at the time. And it came to me later on in the evening because of what took place. It's almost been a year since Doc Martin has passed from this life and is now enjoying being in the presence of the Lord, and he's so much happier than we are. And I'm jealous on those things because he's truly enjoying life now. See, we weren't created for this world. We are created for Him. And this is just a temporary stopping place for us. But it says to delight thyself in the Lord. So as I'm at home this past week, it was Wednesday night, I was unaware of something that was in our household. You know me, I like sugar. One of the things that I like is Kit Kat bars, I like Snickers, anything to do with sugar, I am happy with. You know what, I would be so content by just being a big pimple this morning. Because if I'm a big pimple this morning, it means I've gotten my fill of sugar. And by the way, Rich came in this morning. He's got a bag of Hershey Kisses, and he's saying Happy Valentine's Day, and he let me put my hand in the bag, and I was very sad as my hand came back out. I only had one. But anyway, hopefully those are still available after church. Rich, I would probably take the rest of the bag. But I delight myself in having sugar. So with that being said, there is something that Doc used to do around here. And every time that Doc came to church, he would always stock up at home, and he would put Starburst in his jacket. And as he would come into church, the young kids, they would begin to flock in. And the first thing that they would do is they would bypass everybody, and they would find Doc, because they knew what Doc had. Doc would give them just a simple little piece of candy, and they would have such delight in that for the next few moments as they unwrapped it and began to have pleasure in that and began to eat that piece of candy. You know what? That meant a lot to these young kids. And I know some of these young kids, they miss that. And so as this is going on, this conversation, I became aware that there has been a Starburst in my house for the past year, maybe a little bit longer. I'm not sure on that one. And me loving sugar, I would walk past that, never being tempted to take that last, that Starburst that was there. Matter of fact, it's a pink one. It's one of my favorites. Pink and red. I'll eat those all day. And so I see this almost daily as I walk past it. And I would never pick it up. Well, come to find out, that was the last Starburst that Doc gave my daughter Jalen. And she knew that she brought it home, And she knew that she misplaced it, but it was never misplaced. It was always in a certain spot. And when she found out that it was still at home, you know what happened? She was delighted that it was there, because it brought such joy to her heart that it brought back memories of Dr. Hermine. So you and I, we spend a lot of our times delighting ourselves and taking pleasures into this world, being excited about those things. And there are some things that we can get excited about. Don't get me wrong with that. I get excited when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. I get excited about when two young people who have done it right get married and stand before a congregation and make their vows towards each other and towards the people that are with them in joining of that. I get excited about those things. But you and I need to get excited and delight thyself in the Lord. Meaning, set some time aside in your life to allow the joy and the excitement from the Word of God be into your life. Delight yourself in the Lord. The things that we delight ourselves here in this world, they're temporary. We know that. But it seems as if we live for these temporary things. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. So how are we to have a successful walk with God? One is trust in the Lord. Two, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. Let's finish this verse. And it says, "And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I'm going to finish this story that I just said about my daughter. The desire of her heart for the past couple months is knowing that that starburst that she had given to her by Doc was gone. But God gave it back to her. It was never misplaced, and it was never devoured by me. God gave her the desires of her heart. You see how God works? You see how God does things in your life? Even just the smallest things, the things that we don't think have any meaning, God will give you the desires of your heart. As we move on to verse number 5, let's read this verse. It says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." It follows up with this, "Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." As I begin to give an illustration to these girls this last Tuesday night, we begin to talk about the word commitment. Today, the word commitment doesn't seem to have a lot of meaning to the younger people, because I believe it's being destroyed by the older people that they are around. Commitment is dedicating yourself to something, but it's also giving up what you have control of and turning it over to God, letting him have his way. That is commitment. So everything that I have, everything that you have, what should we do? The things that are of value to us are some simple things in life. One, we value our vehicles. We take pride in our vehicles. We keep them clean. We keep them spotless. Some of us do, some of us don't. We brag about our hot rods, maybe our motorcycles, whatever they are. But in reality, they're not really ours. We brag about, and we commit a lot of time to this dumb thing, this phone that consumes our lives. And so we take pleasures in these things. Some people entertain themselves in church services. They'll go through Facebook, Instagram, whatever, text messages. Not really committing their time to God, but they'll commit the time to this world. That's what it is. They'll do those things, saying, "Hey, God, you really have no value in my life. You really don't mean nothing. I'm not really committed to you." That's what you're saying. And so we allow those things to do those things. Here's a wallet. Inside my wallet is what Q said. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get in here. But in our wallets, we carry our cards for the bank. We have our credit cards, and we have some cash. And we commit ourselves to these things. But true commitment is turning those things that are value to us, that mean so much to us, and saying, hey, God, these are yours. You gave them to me, and I'm going to commit them to you. Giving it to him. Committing everything that we have. Committing your very life. That's what we are to do. But that's something that it's hard for us to do, because so often we will commit to something and we will reverse the role. For an example, on many occasions, I'm using myself as an example here. I'm not using you, because I don't know your thoughts and your intentions when you do these things. But I know on occasions, as I've come forth and been convicted of a message that pastors preach, or missionary, whatever, whoever's preached it, I would come forward and I would commit myself. I would say, God, I've sinned against you, and I've done you wrong, and I'm going to commit to serving you better than I ever had before. All sounds good, right? Not more than 20 minutes later, what do I normally do? You might be like me. I will decommit. I will take back what I gave to him. True commitment is turning everything over to the Lord, regardless of what it is. That is what you and I should be doing in our lives. And as we commit those things, as we commit our lives to the Lord, he follows up with this: trust also in him. Trust also in him. Goes back to verse number 3, trust in the Lord. Simple, right? No, that's a hard thing for us to do, because we want to take things into our own control because we think that we have it figured out. In reality, we don't have it figured out. Commit your way to the Lord. You know, in order for these girls, as I have talked to them, in order for them to get better at the sport that they are involved in, they've got to commit themselves for the 6 hours of practice that we have that week to get better. Some are very faithful at it. Some aren't so faithful at it. The ones that are faithful at it, you'll see the results on the court. The ones that aren't faithful at it, you'll see the results as they're sitting on the bench. That's what normally happens. Commit thy way unto the Lord. 26 years ago, I stood before a congregation of people in Sioux City, Iowa, as my wife and I began to exchange vows. And I committed that day that I'm always going to love her, cherish her, and do what's best for her and I. I committed myself to her. That's what you and I need to do to God. Commit our very lives to him. Commit everything that we have, allowing him to have control in our lives. That's what we need to do in our lives. So as we begin to move on from here, commit our way in the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse number 6, it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse number 7, I just dealt with this verse here this past week with him. Thursday night we met, and I'm still actually going through this. I got a couple more that I'm going to share with him as our season begins to wind down and begin to give them God's word. By the way, would you please be in prayer for us every Tuesday and Thursday night? Because my whole goal is not to teach them the life of basketball, but my goal is to teach them about God. And I would love to see these kids come to know Christ as their Savior. I truly would. So I would ask, would you please commit some time this week and pray for them? I would appreciate those things. So verse number 7, it says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. The word rest is a word that some of us, as we get older, we love hearing that word. I just want to go home so I can just rest. Church is not a time for you to rest, okay? Church is a time for you to be awake and a time for you to be alert. Not to come in here and to begin, oh, song service is over. Time to take a little rest, a little siesta. No, that's not what church is about. Let's begin to go over this. It says to rest in who? The Lord. Rest in the Lord. Can I give you an idea what rest is? Rest is a time of total silence. That's what it is. What do you mean? It's a time for you to just be quiet. and to rest in the Lord. Goes on to the verse that we find in Psalms as well. It says, be still and know that I am God. Well, how are we to be still and know that He is God? By this verse here, verse number 7. Take time to rest. Take time to rest. Be quiet. Shut your mouth for a minute. Shut your mind off for a minute. Shut everything down and just begin to rest. And begin to allow Him to consume your thoughts with just how great God is. When was the last time that you truly rested in the Lord? We need to take those times. Yes, taking a rest here, there, every once in a while in your life, that's all good for us to get recharged. I understand those things. I was wanting to do that yesterday as I'm standing at a basketball tournament for 8 hours out of the day yesterday, and I just wanted to go home and rest. But in reality, my desire should have been, I just want to rest in the Lord. That's where my thoughts should have been. We need to take time and just be quiet and rest in the Lord. That phrase, just be quiet, always seems funny to me. Jalen was at the age of 2, maybe 3 at the time. And, you know, 2 and 3 year olds, they try to figure out what life's all about. And they think that they know it all. And at that age, they begin to mimic everything that a parent does. And I was with Jordan this past week, and he was helping me out. I was in a truck, and Alea was with me, and was with us as well. And she had her baby, and she started spanking her baby because her baby was bad. And I just started laughing because it just took me back to the time when Jalen was a baby as well. And I might have to turn her in because I didn't care how she treated the baby, because after she got done spanking the baby a few times, she'd throw the baby on the floor. And that calls for child services protections. And I don't know how to make that phone call just yet and rat on a 2-year-old. But anyway, she does those things because her mom and dad are instilling discipline in her life when she does wrong. And so it's catching with her. And so she does those things. And so as I begin to think about this term that I just said, just be quiet, Jalen is about the age of 2 or 3, and her and her mom are having conversation about our dog, and she was saying how she's the boss of our dog. We had a great Dane, we had a Rottweiler years ago. By the way, those are the best dogs I have. They truly are. They're the best dogs I have. And anyway, through the conversation, she just looks at her mom. She just says, Mom, just you be quiet. I'm the boss of you. But couldn't laugh at that point in time because we had a corrector. Went to the bedroom and laughed later on, but realistically, rest in the Lord. Be quiet. Take time to know who God is. And then we are to wait patiently for Him. That's something that we struggle with, is patience. Some of us don't have patience. 26 years that Chris and I have been married, and I still don't know what patience is. And we need to have patience in the Lord because God works in His time. God doesn't work on our time, and God doesn't work on our schedule. Forget about God working on your schedule, because it's His schedule is what matters. Be patient. Wait for Him. That's something for all of us to understand. Some of us, by nature, are just nervous people, and we'll sit in church, and we'll tap our fingers, or we'll do this, and we're just antsy. We do those things because we're not patient. I'm one of those people. But we need to be patient. Wait upon Him. Because when He brings it to pass, and when He brings it forth, that's when it's supposed to happen. And again, it goes on, fret not thyself. Don't worry, because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. One of the last things that I'm going to deal with these girls this coming week is verse number 8. And it's something that I have always struggled in my life. I'm a person that I can get angry very quickly, and things set me off very quickly, and I would ask, hey, pray for my anger problems, because I have things. I'm not a perfect man. I don't stand here before you today as a perfect man, but I have some issues in my life, And it began to be demonstrated in my life yesterday as I was on my way over to the Papillion Landing to watch hours and hours of basketball. And yesterday, you all know that it snowed outside, and I'm down here at 5:30 in the morning, plowing this driveway off, having some fun, and I had to be over there by 8 o'clock because that's when the game started. And then I got home just probably right, 10 after 7, quarter after 7. I had my own driveway to do. By the way, I'm tired of snow. I've seen enough snow in my life to last me for eternity. If I want to see snow again, I want to look on a picture on my phone and just, hey, you remember that good old time? That I want it to be a memory for me. I don't want it no more. Matter of fact, we're doing a baptism after our services this morning. Wouldn't it be fun, as cold as it is outside, as soon as we're done, the both of us just run outside in our wet clothes just to see how quick we freeze? That would not be fun. But anyway, let's deal with verse number 8. Oh, let me get back to my story. I rabbit trailed. People begin to drive slow, and they weren't driving up to my speed. You know what would happen? I would snap. And I would be very Christian-like, and I would say, could you get moving faster? I'm in a hurry. Well, I knew it bothered my wife, because late last evening she told me, Chad, you need to apologize for how you acted. And in these nice words, she said, you acted stupid. And I'm not happy with you. See, I allowed my anger to overcome me. I reacted quickly. What's the Bible say? Verse number 8. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. Anger doesn't do us any good, does it? Matter of fact, what anger does is create more problems. My anger yesterday did not get me to my destination any quicker than what I wanted it to. But you know what? We're so filled with anger in our lives. We don't allow things to go. We allow anger to consume us. Some of us are mad politically. Some of us are mad spiritually. We're just mad. We're angry people. Cease from anger. It doesn't do you no good. Well, how are we going to cease from anger? Well, go back to verse number 7. This will help you out. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. So if we've gone through these steps in our lives, says verse number 23, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways, in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. What are the steps? Number 1, trust in the Lord. Number 2, delight thyself in the Lord. Number 3, commit thy way unto the Lord. Number 4, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Verse number 8, cease from anger. These are steps in the life of a believer that need to be applied daily. It's not something that you do once a week. It's something that we must do every single day. But we got to start off with number 1, and that's trusting in the Lord. Trusting in him, knowing that he's got this. He will get us through. He will help us out. He will deliver us. How do I know that? Because you're his child. If you're not his child this morning, well, you're missing out on these things in life. And I encourage you that if you want to be his child this morning, you can do that here in the next few moments. But trust in the Lord. Have faith in him. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll stand and we'll have a couple verses of invitation. If God has spoken your heart in any way, I encourage you to take advantage of the altar that we have here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have given us this opportunity to be able to go through your word this morning. God, I pray if you challenged anybody this morning, maybe we're not trusting you the way that we should. Maybe our ways in life, we have yet to commit to you. Maybe there are some things in our life where it's causing our anger to shone through more and more. But Lord, maybe we're really guilty of not resting in you, not taking that time to get to know you, because we're so busy just consuming our own selves with our own thoughts and our own desires in life. But God, help us to see these things in our life that we need to have. God, I pray that you bless in these next few moments that we have, and we ask it in your name. Amen.